Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel found in Mark 16. And when they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is God's word. All four of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell us about the resurrection. But they do it like four people standing from different vantage points watching the same thing. This morning, our account of the resurrection is from St. Mark, the second of the Gospels, the second book of the New Testament. Mark is a very unique, well, all the Gospel writers are unique. Mark is unique because he kind of writes like a kid who just got home from school and he has something that he absolutely has to tell you. You know what I'm talking about. Your elementary school age son comes home from school and says, Mom, you'll never guess what happened today. First this kid did this, and then I did this, and then my teacher said this, and then we had to do this, and it was so awesome. You know what that's like, don't you? Mark actually writes that way. His favorite word, if you actually, and this would be an interesting study sometime, go through the Gospel of Mark and underline or highlight every time you see the word immediately. So immediately, Jesus did this. And then immediately, he went to this place. And then immediately, this happened and he said this. And immediately, the Pharisees did that. It's kind of like the first century equivalent of that kid who can't wait to get home and tell you what happened with his day. And his gospel account for today, the Easter account, is kind of rushed too. Some people believe that Mark's gospel actually ends with verse 8, which there's no actual description of Jesus risen from the dead. It's just the empty tomb, and the women are scared. And the young man, probably an angel, speaks to them. It's possible that Mark ended his gospel here. We don't know. But it's a very rushed description. It's like Mark can't wait to get to the point of Easter. So these women, they went to the tomb, and then the stone was already rolled away. And then a man said, "Why are you looking for him? He's not here. He's already risen." And oh, they were so scared. And can you believe it? Jesus is risen from the dead. That's the enthusiasm with which Mark describes what is happening in our gospel today. The word that our ESV text uses today in verse 8 to describe the women, it says that trembling and astonishment seized them. It's a really good word choice there because the word means that they were held by trembling and astonishment. They were gripped. They were held fast by fear and astonishment at what they had just seen. And who can blame them? Dead people aren't supposed to live. That's human experience 101. You've heard the saying, the only two things that are certain in life are death and taxes. Death is number one. It's the most certain thing there is. People die. Plants die. Animals die. All sorts of things die. And yet, here, Jesus defies what our experience tells us, and Mark can't help but exclaim it, and the women can't help but be seized by fear and trembling over it. Jesus was dead, but now he isn't. And Mark can't help but tell you, do you see? He was dead, but now he's not. And the women, they were so scared about it. Can you believe it? Jesus lives. And so it's on us today, in the middle of the most unthinkable Easter any of us have ever experienced, to go ahead and be seized by Easter, like those women had trembling and astonishment seized them, as Mark was seized by excitement in his description of what had happened. Let each and every one of us be seized by Easter this morning. Let us be held by it, gripped by it, taken hold by it, that we may contemplate the unfathomable miracle that takes place for us on this day. That Jesus was dead, but now he is not. Dead people don't live, but Jesus did. He closed his eyes in death, was buried in a tomb, but now he's alive. Now he lives. Now he reigns at his Father's right hand and yet comes to you in his word today. Let's be seized, let's be grasped, let's be held by that unthinkable, incredible reality. That no matter what is thrown at us on every side by the world and the devil and by sin, whether it's COVID-19 or cancer or war or hatred or violence or sin or death or wickedness of some sort, we gather in joy and celebration today because Jesus lives. You and I have a Lord that lives. He once was dead. He is no more. Thanks be to God. We perhaps, in fact, we certainly have all too often not lived as though we have a living Lord. And yet he lives nonetheless and comforts us in this time with the good news that the grave could have no hold on him. You know, if you knew a person who had once died but then wasn't dead anymore, that would be a remarkable thing, and you would probably want to know how such a thing could be possible. Well, this Jesus is true God and true man. He dies according to his human nature, but he is powerful to rise in glory according to his divine nature. And St. Paul would have us think this morning about the impact of Jesus living. No, I told you already that a fun exercise would be to go through the Gospel of Mark and underline the word immediately. Here's one I do encourage all of you to do. This is a great Easter devotional exercise. On this day, when you go home to quarantine, to shelter at home, and you're not able to be with family and friends, I want you each to grab your Bible, and I want you to take the time to read the entirety of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Won't take you long. It is a long chapter, 58 verses, but it'll be worth your time. I often wonder if that shouldn't be a tradition that the church develops, that every year we read all of 1 Corinthians 15 on Easter Day. After all, we read all of John 18 and 19 on Good Friday. Easter needs what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Our epistle for today came from the tail end of that epistle. But before that, Paul describes Jesus being raised from the dead as the first fruits. There's another churchy word, right? You guys hear me talk about churchy words, words we only use in church. Well, first fruits was a word to describe what the people of Jesus' day and the people of the Old Testament did with their harvest, with their animals, with their money that they took in. You would give the first fruits to God. the first of the harvest, the first of the herd, the first of the money you received. The first fruits would go to God as an offering. And then, of course, you had the rest to enjoy and live off of. But first, you gave to God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ has been raised from the dead and that he is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He's the first of those who have died, which in a way doesn't make sense because many had died before Jesus. But he is the first to die and then be raised to glory, incorruptible, never to die again. Different than when Lazarus was raised, because Lazarus died again. Jesus was raised, and the grave no longer had power over him. And Paul describes Jesus as the first fruits, the first given to God, raised in glory to live forever. But if he's the first fruits, that means there's more after it. And that is what Paul goes on to describe in the rest of chapter 15. He says in our epistle today, we shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. In other words, Jesus was dead. He's not anymore. One day, you will be dead, but then you won't anymore. Because Jesus is the first fruits. He was raised, glorified, presented to his Father, sits at his right hand, and so will you one day. And so this great joy comes to seize us and take hold of us today, that no matter what the world may send our direction, no matter whether, as Luther said, take they our life, goods, fame, child or wife, as we sing in A Mighty Fortress, you are going to live because Jesus lives. Oh, what tremendous hope for you and me. Jesus lives. We have a living Lord. And so we will live. The day will come, dear friends in Jesus, when our Lord will return to rip open your grave and seize you from the ground, to raise you in life, to raise you incorruptible, to raise you perfect, to raise you in glory as he is glorified. The great father of the church, Saint Augustine, wrote this about what Jesus accomplished with his resurrection. He said, he died, but he vanquished death. In himself, he put an end to what we feared. He took it upon himself and he vanquished it. As a mighty hunter, he captured and slew the lion. Where is death? Seek it in Christ, for it exists no longer. But it did exist and now it is dead. O life, O death of death, be of good heart. It will die in us also. What has taken place in our head, and there Augustine's talking about Jesus, the head of the church, will take place in his members. There he's talking about we, the body, the church. Death will die in us also. But when? At the end of the world, at the resurrection of the dead, in which we believe and concerning which we do not doubt. What fantastic joy to be seized with today. Jesus lives. He's not in the grave. He has risen. He lives. Because he lives, you live. His death died on Good Friday was your death to sin. His life, raised to life on Easter Day, is your life. So yes, we are a little bit different people here on Easter, willing to do whatever it takes to come hear the word of God on Easter morning. That word where Jesus is among us, the Jesus who lives, the Jesus who is no longer dead, the Jesus who the grave could not hold. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may you be seized by Easter joy this morning. May you be seized with the hope that the one who died is dead no more. And that when you die, you will be dead no more. For Jesus lives and reigns now and to all eternity. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.